Education Committee to order at 8:05, even though the clock says 7:05. Today is Monday, March 13th, and this morning we have present Senator Coghill, Senator Giesel, and Senator Begich, and myself, Chair Hughes. Remember your cell phone etiquette, and thank you to those assisting us today. Today we're going to have a second hearing for Senate Bill 17, the Stevens-Inouye University Exchange Program, sponsored by Senator Costello, as well as Senate Bill 66, the State Council on the Arts, by the Senate Education Committee. And if it's the will of the committee, I would like to pass both of these bills out this morning. And at this point, I'd like to invite Senator Costello and Juliana to come forward. Are there any questions of the committee? Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is actually for Saichi Oba, who I see is online. If I could inquire of that individual, please.
Certainly. Saichi, can you hear us?
I can. Thank you, Senator Hughes.
Okay, Senator Giesel, your question?
Yes. Mr. Oba, last week, in your testimony, you made a statement that caught my ear and some other folks as well. You stated that after a student attends one of the universities for a year, they qualify for in-state tuition. And I'm just real curious about that. I wasn't aware that was the fact. Your comment?
Through the chair, I don't recall talking about residency per se, but to establish residency at the University of Alaska, there's a several-step process. One of the steps is verifying your physical location for a 12-month period. And often students use their time in attendance as part of that 12-month period. But the bigger test that we rely on now, and we've done so for several years following a residency audit that was in part part of a larger permanent fund audit, the university now uses the standard of the permanent fund. So if a student is eligible or has received a permanent fund, that's the step or the test we use now. So it isn't just literally being in the state for a semester or two semesters, it is the ability to have qualified for a permanent fund is what now we use to test for residency for in-state tuition.
Follow up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, Mr. Oba, you need to identify yourself for the record, and I'll let you do that in a moment. But just a comment, that's pretty interesting. Because one of the questions, of course, on that permanent fund application is, do you intend to stay in the state? So thank you very much for that information, if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Sure. My name is Saichi Oba. I'm the Associate Vice President for Students at the University of Alaska.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there further questions of members? Senator Costello, do you have any closing comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did want to mention that the University of Alaska has submitted a letter of support, which is in your packet, and I want to thank the committee for hearing the bill. Just thank you for hearing the bill.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. And what is the will of the committee at this time?
Madam Chair, I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 66, version 30LS0435/Omega, from this committee to the next with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
That is one bill number, so we'll need to do that again.
Oh, pardon
so
me.
We'll cancel that at this moment.
Sorry, I was already on to the next agenda. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 17. From this committee to the next, version 30LS0245/J, from this committee to the next with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Seeing no objections, SB 17 is passed out of Senate Education. We'll take a quick at and ease to sign the committee report. And we're back on the record. And at this point, we'll move on to Senate Bill 66. And I would like to make a few comments to get us started. We were actually working on a CS, but we failed to put some transitional language in it, and so we are not bringing it forward today. But I want to mention to the members and to get on the records the changes, and we're going to provide that to the Senate Finance Committee in case they'd like to include the three things that we were going to do. We were looking at what other states have for their state councils, a number of board members. We realized there were a number of states that had 9 members as opposed to 11. And even though it would be just a fairly small travel cost savings, I received a comment from someone that, you know, when we're looking at taking $1,000, $1,200 from each person's PFD, that even a savings of a couple thousand dollars here and there is significant, and that we should look for every nickel. And so also it is considered an ideal board size, 9 to 11, so 9 is a good number. But to make sure that the Arts Council also has folks out across the state being ambassadors to attend events, we also had recommended that the Arts Council may appoint regional ambassadors. And, of course, they could probably do that without our putting it in it, but to make them official gives it a little more, allows the position to have a little bit more prestige. And then also we were going to delete the reference to the federal code. I think Senator Coghill has brought that up in other committee hearings because that federal code can change. And speaking to the Arts Council chair, that wasn't actually necessary for the bill or for them to function. And then the third thing we were going to do was require the council to report on how it could reduce state funds by 50% over a 5-year period and to report that next January. So those were the changes we were going to bring forward. The problem is we failed to put the transitional language in, and to move to the 9 members, it would have wiped out every member that was on the council, and we didn't think that was the right thing to do. That would have been a lot of work for the administration, and we want those serving to complete their terms. So for that reason, we're not going to be adopting the CS at this time, but we will provide that information to the Senate Finance Committee. So at this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Brown up for any questions members might have and closing comments. Does anyone have a question for Mr. Brown? Senator Geisel.
Why are we doing this?
Madam Chairman, Senator Geisel, and I don't know that we had the pleasure of having you here when we had looked at the bill at its first hearing, so I'm happy to answer your question. Basically, the council has decided that we want to be part of the solution, and going to a quasi-private status is going to make us a more nimble and effective and efficient player in state government in terms of doing what we want to do, which is promote our artistic activity for Alaskans. Right now, we're just a mainline state agency, and the bill restructures the council so that we are quasi-private. Not so private that we would become ineligible for our federal matching funds, but quasi-private in a manner that makes it much, much easier for us to seek out, receive, and expend private foundation money in support of artistic and cultural activity. We have very good relationships, Madam Chairman, with the Rasmussen Foundation and the Margaret A. Cargill Foundation, and we'd like to seek other partners out. We realize that the pie of government money for this activity is not going to get any bigger at the state or the federal level for the foreseeable future, but there are other non-governmental sources of funding out there. And so the primary impetus behind the bill is to allow the council to seek those sources of funds out and effectively marshal them to our existing purpose.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, I appreciate that. Are there further questions for Mr. Brown? I have a question, Mr. Brown. The recommendations that we were working on, would you like to make some comments for the record?
Well, Madam Chairman, as we have been able to discuss this, and, you know, we're not desirous to shrink the council, but certainly 9 is a workable number. You know, we did review, thanks to our friends at the National Assembly of State Arts Agencies, on whose board I serve as for first vice president in the interest of full disclosure, but it's the consortium of all the arts agencies. So we're able, through the resources they provided, to look at every state and territory, and 9 is certainly a workable number. So that wouldn't be the end of the world, but the transitional language, as you already mentioned, was quite problematic to us. Removing the reference to the national legislation, the Federal Arts and Humanities Act, that's not problematic. Those provisions are going to, as you know, federal law applies whether or not we have in our statute that it applies. So it would be kind of duplicative to have that in there. So Senator Coghill's observation on that point was perfectly well taken. And as far as ambassadorships, I think that's a really good concept. And I don't know that we need it in the statute, but it's something we certainly will look at as a council and figure out if there's a way we can work that into our existing operations, because I think it's a really good idea. So I thought we had a productive conversation about that. And then finally, as far as reporting back, you know, as I said when I testified initially, we can only go so low in terms of the state appropriation before we run the risk of losing the federal match. But at the same time, when we look at a five-year plan going forward, earned income opportunities do exist out there. As some of you may have heard, Artistic License is the new arts license plate program that's just being launched. That's not going to generate a lot of revenue from Alaskan motorists, because we just don't have – we're not California. They make a lot of money on arts license plates in California. But I think maybe we could make little ones for tourists with names on them. So the earned income opportunities are definitely there. And so we're happy to look at that sort of a thing as a council and get back and let the legislature know how we're trying to be more entrepreneurial. Absolutely.
Thank you. And I may be confused because this was in a finance subcommittee, but does the Art Council, does it house the loan library for the inventory of art that's to distribute in public offices?
Madam Chairman, we are the repository and the managers of the Alaska Contemporary Art Bank. Those pieces of artwork are available to legislators, other state offices, and our congressional delegation. We don't charge any money to loan those out to public offices, but actually it's been suggested, actually former Representative Gaddis, the last legislature, suggested that we look at maybe monetizing those assets and renting art to private entities. We can look and see if some other states are doing that. That might actually be more trouble than it's worth by the time we paid for someone to do it and do the insurance. But it's a perfect example of something we can look at as an earned income opportunity, Madam Chairman. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for that. I brought that up in the Finance Subcommittee as a possibility, not knowing it was brought up before. But I appreciate that the Council's willingness to look at those kind of opportunities. So are there any further comments or questions from
members? If I may, Madam Chairman, I just wanted to offer you my congratulations for being the senator for the winner of Poetry Out Loud. Isabella Weiss did a fantastic job at the competition last Tuesday night here in Juneau at 36 North. She's a freshman, and she won state finals. So I'm actually going to be at a National Assembly State Arts Agencies meeting in conjunction with the national finals at the end of April, and I hope she wins for Alaska. I'll be there cheering her on. So,
thank you for that. And for members that don't know, Ben grew up in Palmer, so we have a little connection there. And so, and Isabella, actually, she's from Colony High, but from the area there. So thank you for that. So at this time, what is the will of the committee?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 66, version 30, LS0435/Delta from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
And seeing no objections, SB 66 is passed out of the committee, and we'll take N at ease to sign the committee report at this time. And we're back on the record, so our next meeting will be on Wednesday, March 15th, and we'll have confirmation hearings for Karen Perdue for the University Board of Regents and Maureen Van Wagner for the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. And seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn at 8:20.